Welcome to the Astrology Show with your host, Kelly Fox. Each week, Kelly will give you access to the current transits that are a valuable tool which provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has through our sun sign. Understanding the current planetary influences each week can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. Sometimes events in your life may seem completely random, but there is a pattern to the order of these events, one set in motion in part by you and in part by the planets and stars in the sky and their influence on your life here on Earth. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, if you're going to get that promotion, move to a new city, or fall in love, tune in to the Astrology Show for guidance. It can help you anticipate problems before they occur, give you tools to cope with changes, and help you look forward to the wonderful days ahead. Kelly Fox is a professional astrologer and internet pioneer who launched Astrology.com, one of the first and most successful astrology websites. Today, her passion lies with her new site, TheAstrologer.com, where she brings a modern-day approach to an ancient wisdom. Please join Kelly each week to learn more about how the planets can align for you.
Hi there, and welcome to The Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox. And on tonight's show, I want to talk to you about the basics of astrology. Astrology 101 is a wonderful and obvious place to start. Each week I talk about where the planets are and what they're doing to us, and sometimes I talk about more signs in particular, how they're being affected by these, what astrologers call transits. And I thought it would be a great idea to take a step back and go back to the basics and talk about what does it mean? Not just what does astrology mean. Recently I gave, there was a show on the history of astrology, but now I want to talk about in tonight's show, the signs, the planets, and how the signs are classified. So there's different types of classifications, and it makes astrology so much easier to understand. Now, astrology is so much more than just a sun sign and a daily horoscope. Of course, it's a great place to start, but there is so much more to it. And years and years and years of study and learning to become a professional astrologer and to be able to read what astrologers call a natal chart or a birth chart or just a chart. And I should say that maybe with a bit of an American accent, with a chart. So if you haven't had your chart done or cast is the correct terminology, go to my website, theastrologer.com, and in the menu bar you'll see astrology under that menu bar, under that word astrology, you'll see chart wheel. Be sure to get a free chart wheel and then you can follow along, because within that chart wheel is this where all the planets were and in what sign at the time you were born. And then that gives you a breakdown of your personality. So that will help you with tonight's show as well, is to understand understand astrology in general. So I mentioned that the signs have their classification. There are 12 signs of the zodiac and they're divided into groups. Now recently I had every few years the topic comes up of the third, or I should say the rumor comes up of the 13th sign of the zodiac. Now, there isn't a 13th sign. There are only 12 signs. And the astrology that we practice here mostly, or in the Western Hemisphere, I guess mostly in the English-speaking countries, is called tropical astrology or Western astrology. And that astrology is based upon the seasons. And so what that is the seasons, and the first point is 0 degrees Aries, the first day of the astrological new year, first day of spring in the Northern Hemisphere, and that's where we start. Now, there's another type of astrology called sidereal, or also Vedic astrology or Indian astrology, and they calculate according to the position of the fixed stars. So that's where there can be a little bit of confusion on the calculations. So astrology, the Western astrology, tropical astrology that I talk about each week in my show is based on the seasons. And so when I hear this 13th sign of the zodiac, it's absolute nonsense. Please disregard it. Because of the way that we calculate our astrology in the Western Hemisphere is based off the seasons or from the seasons. So if we were doing it based on the position of the constellations, there would be 24 signs, not 13. So if ever that rumor, which it does every few years, it crops up, it pops up, and it has many astrologers tearing their hair out because there are so many people that get confused about their signs. No, there is no confusion. Definitely we are seasonal, and that's really important in astrology. So just to dispel that myth and rumor. Okay, so there's 12 signs of the zodiac. And I am going to run through them right now, actually, and give you just a brief overview and characteristic of each of those signs. And the first sign of the zodiac is Aries. And Aries is a fire sign. It's a cardinal sign. It's very active and spontaneous, and it's initiating, which is part of being in the cardinal group. Very self-assertive, energetic. And Aries make good leaders. And their symbol is the ram. And if you think of a ram, two rams butting heads, when two Aries come together, that can typically happen. The second sign of the zodiac is Taurus. And Taurus is a fixed earth sign. And again, later in the show, I will talk about the classifications, the elements, as well as the modalities or qualities. So I will cover that a bit later on. But Taurus, the second sign of the zodiac, is very stable and persistent and can be a little bit materialistic, security-oriented, and very patient. But a good way to think of the characteristics of each of the signs is think about their symbol. So if you think about Aries with the ram butting heads, or ram taking charge or charging, that's typically the characteristics of anyone with this sign. And it's not just anybody that has their sun sign in Aries or Taurus. It's any other planet can be in these signs that make up the individual. So Taurus, I always think of is a placid bull, but as soon as you wave that red flag, they will charge. So it's like sometimes it's better just to tiptoe around them instead of risking a consequence. But Taurus is typically a very mellow sign. Can be stubborn, yes. The next sign, the third sign of the zodiac is Gemini, and Gemini is a mutable air sign. And so Geminis are very cerebral. The air signs are all about intellectual, mental abilities. Geminis can be very restless. They get bored easily. They're one of the communicators of the zodiac. They're very curious and flexible, quick-witted. And I always think of, when I think of Gemini, jack of all trades. So they know a lot. Wait, is it a lot about a little or a little about a lot? A little about a lot. It's a little about a lot. So that's Gemini. The fourth sign of the zodiac is Cancer. Cancer the crab. And what they say about Cancer the crab is they carry their home on their back. And if they're upset or offended, they will retreat into their home, into the shell that they carry on their back. So that's why Cancer has the reputation of being very domestic, very home-loving. Cancer is very nurturing, very sensitive, intuitive, emotional, and they have very good memories. So if you cross a Cancer, they may hold a grudge, something that they might not forget, and very self-protective. The fifth sign of the zodiac is Leo, and Leo is a fixed fire sign. Its symbol is the lion, the king or queen of the jungle. So they make very good leaders. They're quite loyal, generous, can be dramatic, very proud and regal. Leo is also a really creative sign. They can be a little bit pouty if they don't get their own way. But they're very good at helping others as well. Virgo, the sixth sign of the zodiac, is a mutable earth sign. And Virgo is very service oriented. They love to help and be of service. They're very supposedly health conscious, although I have met the shadow side of Virgo where they just don't take care of their health. Virgo is meant to be the sign of cleanliness, tidiness, and the shadow again is the opposite of that. So just because somebody is a sun sign, born under one sign, it doesn't mean that they are all those qualities of that sign. There will be varying degrees of the characteristics of the sign. So with Virgo, Virgo is a very analytical sign, but it is known to be quite critical, but that's because it seeks perfection. We're going to take a short break. After the break, I will continue with the signs, so stay tuned.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yolita Pascual and Diana Gold-Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news. Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi there, welcome back to the Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about astrology. And just before the break, I was talking about each of the signs, and I got halfway through the zodiac, and I wanted to talk and explain the characteristics of each sign before moving into the specific categorizations that the zodiac is divided into certain groups. So the first step is to talk about each of the signs, the 12 signs of the zodiac, not 13, not 24, but 12 signs of the zodiac. So the seventh sign of the zodiac is Libra. And Librans are typically very cooperative, very partnership oriented. They're very social. They like beauty, the arts. They're fair and balancing, but sometimes, more than sometimes maybe, can be indecisive. And if you think of their symbol, which is the scale, it's all about trying to find that balance. So it's typically that's really what Libra is meant to be striving for, is to find balance in life. And that's in every area of life. And Libra is a cardinal air sign. Now, the eighth sign of the zodiac is Scorpio. And Scorpios, I think, over the years I've heard, I think Scorpios have more of a reputation than any other sign. But I think it's because they're misunderstood. Scorpio is very intense. It's can be secretive, can be jealous, very passionate, very strong-willed, can be possessive, but extremely loyal, if I did just say that. Scorpio is extremely loyal and trust is crucial. Sign of the zodiac, and it's a mutable fire sign. And Sagittarius is optimistic, it's enthusiastic, it's adventurous, truth-seeking, philosophical. It can be tactless at times. Sometimes when Mercury, the planet of communication, is travelling through Sagittarius, which it does once a year, I do jokingly call that foot-in-mouth syndrome. Sometimes Sagittarians are known just to blurt things out without really thinking it through. It's not done maliciously. It's more out of enthusiasm, let's just say. The 10th sign of the zodiac is Capricorn. Capricorn is a cardinal earth sign, and it's very responsible and ambitious and managerial. It's organised, can be a little bit reserved, but very much about duty. It can be cautious, but on the flip side, some of them can be status-seeking. And I always think of when Venus, love planet Venus, is in Capricorn, I think this is the time for the trophy wife. This is the time to show what you've got type of thing, particularly when it comes to relationships. The 11th sign of the zodiac is Aquarius. Aquarius is a fixed air sign, and it can be quite detached. It's the humanitarian of the zodiac. It's an individual, non-conforming typically, independent, but can be aloof, particularly when it comes to emotions and relationships. And finally, the 12th sign of the zodiac is Pisces, which is a mutable water sign. And Pisces is very imaginative, can be self-sacrificing, very sympathetic, compassionate. And Pisces sometimes can be taken advantage of because of their very caring and concerned and compassionate natures. What I didn't mention with each of the sign is the ruling planet. So with astrology, we measure from the zero point of Aries, that's the start of the zodiac. And what we do as astrologers is that we track the movement of the planets around the sun. And then there's interpretations to the movement of the planets around the sun. And those interpretations come from ancient Greek and Roman mythology. So back in the day, I don't know if that's really the right term, way back when, in ancient times, they really relied on the gods and the myth around the gods. So each of the planets has their own mythology and meaning. And so when you couple the planet with the sign, and the planets move around the sun at varying degrees, so for example, the inner planets, and that would be Mercury, Venus in particular, move a whole lot faster than the outer planets, and that's Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. the cycle of the planets really around the sun is mind-boggling. So, and of course, astrologers classify the sun and the moon as planets, but we know technically they're not planets. The sun is a star and the moon is a satellite to the Earth. But just to keep things simple, we group them as planets. So if you think about the cycle of the moon, it changes sign every 2.5 days. Its cycle is 28 days. If I think of the outermost planet as Pluto, and yes, Pluto is still a planet, according to astrologers, and was absolutely horrified when it got demoted by astronomers, downgraded from a planet to a question mark. Pluto, its myth is Lord of the Underworld. And I thought that was really ironic because that's the last planet I would want to mess with and demote. So Pluto, I heard rumours recently, and I need to research this, but I heard that there is talk to reinstate Pluto as a planet. So that's sort of interesting. But anyway, just to give you an example, the moon cycle in one sign for 2.5 days, and then you have Pluto, which can be in a sign for up to 28 years. I mean, that is huge. That it's just mind-boggling to think how big our solar system is out there. So, for example, you have the sun, and the sun doesn't move. All the planets move around the sun, but from our perspective here on Earth, it looks like the sun is moving around us. It looks like the planets are moving around us, the sun is moving around us. That is not the case, but that is from our perspective here on Earth, from our point of view. So, for example, the sun changes sign every about 30 days, and then the moon 2.5 days, and so on. So, yeah, it really does vary, and there's a huge variation. And there's so much more that we don't know about. You know, with all the moons, you know, Saturn and Jupiter have their own moons, more than one. Earth has one moon. And there's some school of thought, Uranian astrology, is a branch of astrology where they claim that there are other planets yet to be discovered. And that makes perfect sense. Pluto was the last planet to be discovered in 1930, and that was just with modern day technology with high-powered telescopes. And for centuries, astrologers only knew of the planets through Saturn. And as I mentioned before, Vedic astrology, Indian astrology, they only calculate to the planet Saturn. They don't use the outer three planets. So the outer three planets were only discovered in recent history. So when technology increases, improves, I'm with those other astrologers. I believe there are other planets to be discovered because what we have so far I've covered the signs, talking about the planets. The planets have different meanings. For example, the moon is about emotions and feelings and everyday life, daily routine. The sun is the core of who we are. Mercury is a planet of communication. Venus, the planet of love. Mars, the planet of passion and action. Jupiter is philosophical, and Saturn is about our responsibilities. Uranus is the planet of unique and different and sudden and unexpected. Neptune is anything that's ethereal, anything that we can't touch or see. It's our dreams, it's illusions. And Pluto, as I said before, is Lord of the Underworld. Pluto is about transformation. And that's putting it in a nice way. Pluto is a planet of change. And sometimes with a Pluto transit, the change comes to us with force. We don't always want to do it. It's sort of like we're forced into a new direction. Sometimes we're thankful for it years later, and other times we're not. It just depends. So when you have the signs and the planets, and then you couple them up, so to give you an example, like, you know, the sun being in Pisces, and then the moon is in Aries. So there's some energies coming in. So you've got the energy of the sun and what it means, the moon, its meaning, and then the signs that they get coupled with. And because everything's changing, it's not an exact repeat. So it's an individual, what's the best way to say this? It's like a fingerprint. Everybody's fingerprint is unique. So each chart is unique. And a chart, of course, is based off a date, time, and a place of birth to an individual. So that's what makes up an astrology chart or a natal chart. So the planets are in measurable positions in the sky that is unique to our individual birth chart. And, of course, our birth chart reveals important insights about our personality, our career choices, our romantic potential, and just so much more. There are so many different branches and divisions and subsets of astrology where you can have, for example, here's the break. After the break, I will continue with what is astrology. So stay tuned.
Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatesPR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners and give a message from Spirit about the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, join Carrie each Monday at 3 p.m. on Vibe Nation Radio.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat?
Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi there, welcome back to the Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about astrology. Just before the break, I was talking about the planets and the signs and how they can couple up and how everybody's astrology chart, natal chart, is as unique as their fingerprint. So on that note, and I have said this in many previous shows, and I was really looking forward to covering this particular component, is that the signs and the planets, well, let's just say the planets have favorite signs. That's probably the better way to look at it. So the planets have favorite signs and they have the least favorite signs, which I always thought was really fascinating. So they're very comfortable in some signs and really uncomfortable in others. And so if you, in your natal chart, you have a planet in a sign that it likes, that really is a good thing. It's more than a good thing. It really brings ease to that planet. And if you have a planet that's in a sign that it doesn't like, and then it's coupled with a very hard aspect like a square or an opposition, that's even more challenging than what it might be normally. So I want to run through the signs and the planet coupling, which is very interesting. So I'm going to go, I think I might do it through the sign order and give the ruler, the detriment, the exaltation and the fall. I think that's probably the better way to do it. So if you're an Aries, your planetary ruler is Mars, and maybe I should do it the other way. Okay, it might be better to think of the planet first. So let's think of the sun. So the sun is the ruler of Leo, and its second favorite child. Its second favorite sign is Aries. Yeah, that's a better way of doing it. And the sun's least favorite sign is Aquarius, and its second least favorite sign, I feel really weird saying this because there's really no positives or negatives in astrology. It just is. But the sun's least favorite sign is Libra. I know that's hard to hear, isn't it, if you're a Libra? But you have other things going for you. So the moon, its favorite sign is Cancer. Its second favorite sign is Taurus. Its least favorite sign is Capricorn. And its second least favorite sign is Scorpio. So that doesn't mean that there's no hope. Say if you have moon in Scorpio, that does not mean that there's no hope for you at all. It just means that the energy doesn't flow as easily. So when you have the moon and Scorpio together, I've seen this in many charts. So someone with a moon in Scorpio, emotions can be all-consuming or overwhelming, or just the person just finds it hard to manage their emotions. Scorpio is a very intense sign. When it comes together with the moon, it can be challenging to the individuals. But if there are supportive aspects like a trine or a sextile to the Scorpio moon, it just makes it a whole lot easier to deal with. Whereas if there are hard aspects to a Scorpio moon, then that makes it a whole lot more challenging. Next, Mercury. So some planets have two signs that they like. So with Mercury, it likes its favorite two signs are Gemini and Virgo. And so, and then its least favorite signs, Mercury's least favorite signs are Sagittarius and Pisces. And as I said before, anytime Mercury is in Sagittarius, I would think of foot in mouth syndrome. When Mercury is in Pisces, Pisces is all about feelings, whereas Mercury is very intellectual. So those two energies clash. They don't flow together easily. Next, Venus. So also Venus has two signs that it rules. Venus likes Taurus and Libra, and it's very uncomfortable in Scorpio and Aries. That's interesting because on the flip side, if you switch it around, Mars favors those two signs that Venus doesn't. So then next you have Mars, its favorite signs are Aries and Scorpio. So if you have Mars in Aries or Mars in Scorpio, it's a very, very strong placement, because Mars really likes these two signs, and it operates its energies in different ways through these two signs. And I always think of the best way to think about Mars when it's in Aries is like the soldier, and when it's in Scorpio, it's like the general. So they're on the same team, but they're just fighting the war in a different way. And the reason I'm using that analogy is because Mars is very action-oriented, it's very masculine, it's very aggressive, and so on. Next planet out is Jupiter, and Jupiter is the ruler of Sagittarius. And Jupiter's least favourite sign is Gemini. Looking up here to see, does it have a second favourite with Jupiter? Let me see. Yes, it does. No, Jupiter. Oh, yes, it does, of course. Leo, and then, of course, it wouldn't go well with the opposite sign, which would be Aquarius. And then Saturn, of course, Saturn rules Capricorn. Saturn's very happy when it's with Capricorn, which it will be at the end of the year. In December 2017, Saturn moves into Capricorn. So this happens once nearly every 30 years. So it's going to be interesting because Pluto is currently in Capricorn, and then Saturn will be moving into Capricorn at the end of the year. And then after that, probably in about 2 years' time, Saturn and Pluto will be sitting together in Capricorn. That should be really, really interesting political times when Saturn and Pluto conjunct in Capricorn. That could be a show in itself. And Saturn is uncomfortable in Cancer. So if you can see the pattern here, it's always the opposite sign. It's very interesting in astrology, the connections with each of the signs, which, yes, I will get to with the elements and the modalities or qualities. But if you can see that that Saturn, it likes Capricorn, but it doesn't like its opposite sign. And this is true for all of the planets. So the Sun in Leo, the Sun likes Leo, but it's uncomfortable when it's with Aquarius. And so, as I said, Venus likes Taurus and Libra, but it's uncomfortable in the opposite signs as Scorpio and Aries. And then next is Uranus, and Uranus likes Aquarius the best. Which means it's not as comfortable in the opposite sign, which is Leo. So, and then you have Neptune. Neptune's the ruler of Pisces, and it's comfortable with Pisces, but not so comfortable with Virgo. And then finally, of course, is Pluto, and Pluto is the ruler of Scorpio. Now, as I said, there are planets that rule two signs, but there are some signs that have two planetary rulers. And as you can see, astrology starts getting complex really fast. And so what the reason that some signs have two planetary rulers and other signs don't is because, as I said previously, throughout time, astrologers only knew the planets through Saturn. We did not have the technology to see the three outermost planets until the past few hundred years. And so the last planet to be discovered in 1930 was Pluto. And so once Pluto was discovered, it was assigned to Scorpio. But previously, before that, the planetary ruler of Scorpio was Mars. So modern-day astrologers, it's okay to say that Scorpio is ruled by Pluto. I do like to be thorough as a professional astrologer and say that Mars is the co-ruler or the sub-ruler of Scorpio. The other signs that this applies to is Aquarius. Aquarius's modern-day ruler is Uranus, so it's connected to Uranus, but its ancient ruler is Saturn. And Saturn ruled both Capricorn and Aquarius, which, if you know anything about astrology, just sounds so crazy. Saturn goes really well with Capricorn, but how on earth does it fit with Aquarius? That's the beauty of Aquarius. Aquarius does not like to be classified in any type of way. So it likes to shock and surprise. But on the other hand, Aquarius is a fixed sign and can be structured in their own unique way. So So I can see how there's a connection between Aquarius and Saturn. It does make sense. So Aquarius has two planetary rulers, Saturn and Uranus, which are very, very different. And then finally, Pisces. So it's the modern-day ruler of Pisces is Neptune, and Neptune is currently in Pisces, so is very happy at the moment because it's with its favourite sign. But the ancient ruler of Pisces was Jupiter, and that is a good fit. I can see that. Jupiter is the planet of like philosophical ideals and values. It is a fit with Pisces. But Jupiter is the ruler of Sagittarius. And Sagittarius and Pisces are both mutable signs. So they're connected in that way, but they're also connected through their planetary ruler of Jupiter. So even though these two signs form a square, it's not a hard or challenging square. There are varying degrees of planetary aspects. And this one is not as tough because they're both mutable signs. Mutable signs like to go with the flow and they share a planetary ruler. So that's a neat little classification, I guess, or connection with the signs. We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned. After the break, I will continue with astrology.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance so common with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hi there, welcome back to The Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about astrology. Yes, it is a very complex ancient system. The good place to start, of course, is your sun sign and reading a daily horoscope. But there is so much depth beyond that. Astrology is about all the planets and all the signs at the time you're born. And then from there, we have transits, and transits are where the planets are at any given time and how they are affecting you. It's probably the easiest way to explain it. And then we have the signs, there's 12 signs of the zodiac. They're divided in different ways. And just before the break, I was talking about how they're connected, not only to each other in various ways, but how the signs are connected to the planets. And the planets have favourite signs and their least favourite signs, and so on. So just one more thing before I move on to the groupings of the signs is the houses. So the houses. Sounds sort of weird, the name houses. Sometimes I refer to the houses as sectors or zones, but a chart wheel. So a chart wheel is a circle divided into 12 houses or wedges or pieces of pie or zones, and each house has a meaning, and each house correlates to a sign and to a planet. So, and the house or the chart wheel is determined by the time, the date, time, and place where you were born. What's really important is the time you were born, and what is an accurate birth time is something within 4 minutes. And so the chart wheel is, the beginning of the chart wheel or the first house is the 9 o'clock point on a clock. And then you move down to the 8 o'clock is the second house, and then so on. So it's counterclockwise is how an astrology chart is cast. And so the 9 o'clock point is known as the rising sign or the ascendant. It's either, you could use either term and an astrologer would know what you meant by that. And then each house has a meaning. So I'll just run through that really quickly. And of course, the houses have their own connections as well. So the first house is about physical body, your personal appearance. The second house is about money and personal values. Third house is communication. Fourth house is home, family. Fifth house is children, creativity. The sixth house is physical health, daily routine, your work life. The seventh house is partnerships, business or marriage. The eighth house is big money. It's also about inheritance, taxes. And the ninth house is about philosophy, religion, higher education, faraway places. The 10th house is social status, career. The 11th house is friends and groups and acquaintances. And the 12th house is the subconscious mind, large institutions or organizations. And there's other meanings around the houses, but that's primarily what each of the houses means. And then so that is set by mostly by the time you were born. And the time you were born means the first breath that you take on this earth. And that is the snapshot. Then we take a snapshot of where the planets were at that time and in what signs they were in. And then you put those planets in the signs within each different house, depending on where it is and your location of birth. So that's why the date, time, and place is really important. So then from there, that is your chart, your natal chart or your chart wheel or your astrology chart. And if you haven't had your chart done, you can get one for free on my website, theastrologer.com. Go to the menu bar, astrology, under that is chart wheel. It's a free chart wheel. All you need to do is enter your date, time and place of birth. If you don't know your time of birth, which I'd probably say in all my years of experience, I would say that half of people don't know their birth time accurately. And it's really crucial that it's an accurate birth time within 4 minutes. If you ask, usually people ask their parents, I can't begin to tell you how many times somebody has called their mother while I've been sitting there. Mothers are not really thinking about the time of birth while they're delivering a child. And they might round it up or say, oh, sometime in the morning. So sometime in the morning, most people will guess 7 a.m. No, please don't ever guess the birth time. So what I do for people who don't know the time they were born, there is an option there for a no birth time chart wheel. And so what I do is have the chart wheel set at 0 degrees Aries, which is the correct way of doing it. It's called the natural house system, where with Western or tropical astrology, we have 0 degrees Aries as the very first degree of the zodiac. It's the beginning of a brand new cycle, and it's the correct place to have the ascendant or the rising sign if you don't know what time you were born. So that's what a chart wheel is. That's a circle divided into 12, where we place the planets. Oh, and of course, there's a whole other language with astrology, and it's a shorthand. And the shorthand is, instead of writing out the sign name or the planet name or anything else, we use symbols called glyphs. So each sign of the zodiac has a glyph, each planet, each aspect. There's a glyph for just about everything that I refer to. So it's an easy shorthand, and it's definitely like learning another language, not just the calculations and the interpretations, but then you have the whole language of the glyph. And it makes perfect sense because a chart wheel, there's only so much you can fit into the space of those little wedges or houses. So having glyphs makes perfect sense. Astrology is a very complex ancient system. And learning the glyphs is just one thing. So, as I've been saying, each of the signs, the 12 signs of the zodiac, is divided into groupings. And the two main groupings are the elements and then the qualities or the modalities. So the elements are based from fire, earth, air, and water. Which makes sense because Western or tropical astrology starts at the first day of spring, the very first moment in the Northern Hemisphere. If you're in the Southern Hemisphere, then it's the first day of autumn or fall. So the equator is crucial, and particularly for astrology, because it divides the hemispheres. And then that really changes the calculations within astrology. So you have fire, earth, air, and water. And so each of the signs in these groupings share basic characteristics. So you have the fire signs, and that's Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. The fire signs are known to be warm-hearted, independent thinkers. Earth signs, Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn. They are practical and down-to-earth. The air signs, Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. They're cerebral, expressive, intellectual. And then you have the water signs, Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. They are very intuitive and nurturing. And as I said before, have good memories. So the fire signs are very physical, and they like to burn the candle at both ends. They're constantly on the go. Many fire signs, or people that have a lot of planets in fire signs, enjoy a fast-paced life. But as I said, they're warm-hearted, but they can be a little bit hot-headed too. They live life on the edge. And, for example, a strong-willed Aries with a lot of intensity and impulsivity can become sometimes self-destructive. So there needs to be a balance. So with the earth signs, and that's Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn, they are as solid as a rock, and they like to build strong foundations for themselves and their families. They're dependable. They're emotionally balanced, typical. And they're that strong shoulder that supports those closest to them. They do prefer tradition and routine, and are known as steadfast workers that prefer not to deviate too far from the norm. Then you've got the air signs, and that's Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. They're trying to be charming and fun, and a lot of times they're the life of the party. They don't always like to over-intellectualize. They like to over-intellectualize their emotions. It's sort of like a shield, really sort of to protect them. Unlike the water signs, who are Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces, their emotional depths are very deep still water. And they're very intuitive. They're sensitive to others. and are very tuned into their surrounding environment. And on that note, I will leave you with that information about astrology. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Have a great week. I'm Kelly Fox, and this is the Astrology Show. Looking forward to tuning in next week.